to Solomon, "As for this temple you are building, if you follow my decrees, observe my laws, and keep all my commands and obey them, I will fulfill you through the promise I gave to David your father, and I will live amongst the Israelites and will not abandon my people of Israel." This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Then Solomon stood before the altar of the Lord in front of the whole assembly of Israel, spread out his hands towards heaven, and said, "Lord, the God of Israel, there is no God like you in heaven above or on earth below. You who keep your covenant of love with your servants who continue wholeheartedly in your way. You have kept your promise to your servant David, my father. With your mouth you have promised, and with your hand you have fulfilled it, as it is today. Now, Lord, the God of Israel, keep your servant David, my father, the promises you made to him when you said, 'You shall never fail to have a successor to sit before me on the throne of Israel, if only your descendants are careful in all they do to walk before me faithfully as you have done.' And now, God of Israel, let your word that you promised your servant David, my father, come true. But will God really dwell on earth? The heavens, even the highest heaven, cannot contain you, how much less this temple I have built. Yet give attention to your servant's prayer and his plea for mercy, Lord my God. Hear the cry and the prayer that your servant is praying in your presence this day. May your eyes be opened towards this temple night and day, this place of which you said, 'My name shall be there,' so that you will hear the prayer your servant plays towards this place. Hear the supplication of your servant and of your people Israel when they pray towards this place. Hear from heaven, your dwelling place, and when you hear, forgive."
It is lovely to be back here, isn't it? A lovely sunny day today. Really nice and bright, and a bit colder than it looks. Shall we pray? Father, thank you for your word to us. Thank you that you are indeed the God who speaks clearly. And so we pray that we would hear your voice clearly this morning. Amen. Well, a little bit later on, I'm going to want some people to come and dress up for us. So think about being somebody who would like to dress up. It would be really helpful if it was children, but it doesn't have to be children. And grown-ups, if you don't persuade your children to dress up, then I'll ask you to do it. So it's your choice. Well, previously, in our Bible overview box set, we saw that God created a beautiful garden and put Adam and Eve in it, with everything they could possibly need, including even his presence with them. Not presents, presence. Him being there in the garden with them. But what did they do? Anybody remember what they did? Yes? That's right, they ate the fruit of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. What was wrong with that? Why shouldn't they have done that? Somebody else. Because God forbade it. God said, you can eat anything you like. You've got everything you need, but don't eat that fruit. And so when they rebelled against God, God threw them out of the garden. And he stood an angel in the entrance of the garden to close it off to Adam and Eve and all of their descendants forever and ever. Can you see the bright angel in the background there and Adam and Eve walking away? Hardly anyone knew anything about God for many, many generations. Until God called, who did he call? Who's this? Yes. It's not Noah. It's a bit later. Begins with an A. Abraham, that's right, Andrew. God called Abraham to follow him, and Abraham obeyed. Abraham and his descendants were far from perfect, as we heard a bit about last week, grown-ups, but God kept his promise to be with them, come what may. Eventually, they became slaves in Egypt, and God miraculously rescued them, and he traveled with them through the wilderness on their long journey to the promised land. And last week, we were with the Israelites in the wilderness, and they had a tent with them, a tent called the tabernacle. The tent said, God, I think we need the next slide. Yeah, there we go. The tent said, God is here, but it also said, stay away because it's not safe to be near him. And they made sacrifices at the tabernacle all the time to God. In order to turn God's anger at their sin away from them. Animals had to die in their place day after day, month after month, and year after year. And that was the case all the time the Israelites were in the desert. And also, when they first arrived in the promised land, that was still the case. The tabernacle was still there. God was with them, but they couldn't get close to him because they were sinful and he is very, very holy. Very holy. And we heard last week, children, you were in Sunday groups, but last week the grown-ups heard that two of Moses' nephews got too close to God, doing their own thing in front of God. And they got burnt up by God's holiness. It just wasn't safe to go anywhere near God except entirely on his own terms. In the promised land, they were ruled over by a ragtag bunch of judges. People like Gideon. Where's Gideon? There he is. People like Gideon and Deborah and Samson. Some of the judges were sometimes good at leading the Israelites and helping them to get to know God a bit better. All of them were sometimes really bad at it, and some of them were bad at it all the time. None of them could lead God's people close to God. None of them could help God's people live in God's land under God's good rule all the time. They were still separated from him because of their sin and his great holiness. Then one day, God gave them a prophet. So who knows what a prophet is? What does a prophet do? We've thought about this in rockets, haven't we? Can any rockets tell us what God's prophets do? Yes, girls in the front row. They wrote the Bible. They also spoke God's words to God's people. And this prophet was called Samuel. And they ask Samuel, the people ask Samuel, for a king because they want to be just like the people around them. And that's a bit like us, isn't it? We want to be like the people around us sometimes. We want to be just like everybody else. And if you're at work or at school or you've got neighbours, that's probably nearly all of us. There's only one family here I can think of who don't actually have neighbours within shouting distance. But everybody's got neighbours or school friends or workmates or whoever, members of our family who aren't following Jesus. And just like the Israelites back then, we want to be like them sometimes, don't we? We feel the pull to be just like those people. They asked Samuel for a king. But that wasn't going to be a good thing. Because a king, Samuel warned them, might not be the right choice. But nevertheless, God gave them a king, who was called Saul. And Saul was anointed by Samuel. Now, Saul, you can see there, he was really tall. He was exactly what you might think a king would look like. Exactly the right sort of person. Tall, good-looking, just like Ash. But God wanted, warned them that a king could be a bad thing, that he was their real king, and that a human king would likely be mean to them and not let them worship God, not give them the freedom to worship God in the way that they'd been called to worship him. Saul was king of Israel for 40 years. That's quite a long time, isn't it? Who's not even 40 years old yet? A few of us, including David. Gosh, who knew? And for the first 20 years, Saul was quite a good king. But for the last 20 years, he was terrible because he led the people away from God. He was very happy to be one of God's people in God's land, but he didn't much like God's good rule. So he led the people away from God. And eventually he died in battle. But God had already chosen his successor, David. There you go. That's his passport photo. The Bible tells us that that David was a man after God's own heart. That's a good thing, isn't it? Because he wanted God to rule over him. He wanted to please God and to do his will. That doesn't mean to say he wasn't sinful. He was. He did some terrible things, some really bad things David did. But when God showed him how sinful he was, instead of just carrying on in the same way, he came back to God and he said sorry. And that's a really good model for us. Because sometimes that we find that we're doing things that don't please God. Ash outlined some earlier on and said that there are things that we all do. Things that we all think that aren't the way God wants us to live. And David's a good model for us because David came back to God when he was sorry. And God forgave him. And David felt great sorrow for the ways that he'd not lived God's way. And God was gracious. But there was still the tabernacle. And what did the tabernacle say? It said God is, what does it say God is? Here, but you can't get too close. That's right, the tabernacle was still there. God was among his people, but don't come too close. And it wasn't even a permanent building, was it? It was a tent. And we all know what can happen to tents. They can get blown away or whatever, can't they? It wasn't even a permanent building to represent God's presence with his people. After David died, his son Solomon became king. Where's Solomon? There he is. He was known for his great wisdom and his great wealth. He used his wisdom to teach others about God. He came up with a lot of the proverbs that make up our book of Proverbs, and he wrote the book of Ecclesiastes in the Bible. And he taught people, and even his people, and even foreign dignitaries about God and about his wonderful creation. And he was the one God chose to finally build a temple, a stone temple, a more permanent building to signify God's presence amongst his people. And that is where our first reading comes in. So if you've got your Bible open, why not turn back to 1 Kings chapter 6 and verse 11. And the Bible tells us this, the word of the Lord came to Solomon, verse 12, as for this temple you are building, if you follow my decrees, observe my laws, and keep all my commands and obey them. In other words, if you live under my good rule, I will fulfill through you the promise I gave to David your father, and I will live among the Israelites and will not abandon my people Israel. So what was Solomon's one job? What did he have to do? Yes. He had to build the temple, but what did he have to do after he built the temple? What did he have to do about God? Yes. He had to obey him. One job. He had to obey God. Do you think he did? What do we think? If you think, grown-ups as well, if you think that Solomon always obeyed God, put your hand up. Not many hands up. If you think he didn't always obey God, put your hand up. Ash has put two hands up. There you go. Well, Solomon didn't obey God. In fact, he did some really bad things. And here, I want some dresses up. So can I have, I think, five people to dress up? Come forward if you'd like to dress up. One, two, three, four, one more. Ash. Okay. So, let's give you a crown each. For four of you, anyway. There you go. One. Two. Do you want a crown? You don't want a crown? Two. Three. And do you want to choose a robe each from there to put on? There you go. And then I need one person to not be a king, but Ash is going to be a priest. There you go. He's not really a priest. He's a presbyter. There we go. How do you put it on? You put it on. Put your arms in there, I think. I don't know. Hook it round you. That'll do. There we go. Now, Ash, you're going to need this. You are, yeah. There you go.
This would be horribly wrong, couldn't it?
Come here. Just going to hook this round your shoulders. There you go. That'll do. Brilliant. Right. So, King Solomon, he was kind of all right. Kind of all right. But he started worshipping other gods as well. There you go. You don't want that. Okay. Okay, fair enough. Okay, so Solomon, who wants to be King Solomon? You're King Solomon, Edie. Solomon, let's go stand around the front. Solomon was good for some for the first part of his reign. But then he was really not very good at all. And he did all sorts of naughty things. And he, the most naughty thing he did, was he encouraged his people to worship other gods. So what do we say to that? Boo. Yeah. Solomon helps his people to worship other gods. So was he helping God's people to live in God's land under God's rule? No. So Solomon died. Go on. Off you go. You can keep your fancy dress on for the moment. And then, under Solomon, there was another king called, after Solomon, there was another king called Rehoboam, Solomon's son. And under Solomon's son, Rehoboam, the kingdom split in two because he was a really mean king. Who's going to be King Rehoboam? Going, rah! Ben, can you go, rah? Well, don't go rah, but you're Rehoboam anyway. And then Rehoboam, he died as well. So go sit down. And then sometimes there were good kings. Who's going to be a good king? You're going to be a good king. Great. Sometimes there were good kings. But what happens to a good king when they get very old? They die. Go on. And then sometimes there's some really bad kings. Really bad kings. You're not really a bad king, but you're just acting as one. And really bad kings, they led people away from God's people. and they died as well. Which meant that we had to have sacrifices all the time. The people had to sacrifice sheep. This is a sheep. I could have dressed somebody up in this, but it didn't seem right.
Put it on, John.
Put it on. There we go. So I was sacrificing. Let's pray. And the sacrifices had to happen day in, day out, week in, week out, month in, month out. Because however good the kings were, however bad the kings were, they could not lead the people back into God's good presence, like in Eden. Because everybody was still sinful. So, yeah, you can sit down, Ash. Thank you. These Solomons, these kings, sometimes good, sometimes bad. All the good kings died, all the bad kings died. Even the best, you see, even the best of people, kings like Hezekiah and Josiah, who you can read about in 1 and 2 Kings, even they were sinful people who couldn't lead God's people back into God's presence. You see, even the best of people, think about the best person you know, the most good and kind and godly person you know in your life. Even that person couldn't be with God in their own strength because of their sin and God's great holiness. So did you know you can try to be as good as you like? And it's good being good. It is good being good. Don't try to be bad. It's good being good. But being good will not win you a place in God's presence. None of the best kings could. And we needed, the people needed, and we needed one perfect king. We needed one person. Can anybody guess who that is? Anybody guess who we needed? Jesus, everyone's saying. That's right, yeah. We need Jesus because Jesus was the perfect king, is the perfect king, the one who God anointed and the one who made himself the sacrifice. He's the one who rules God's people forever and ever. And he's the one who made that final sacrifice so that our sins can be fully forgiven and so that we no longer are separated from God. Because everybody who puts their trust in Jesus are in Christ. That means that when God looks at us, he doesn't see our sin anymore. He sees Jesus's perfect obedience. And so we follow Jesus. We trust in Jesus, and then we are God's people in God's place, and we will find much more about that in the next 4 weeks, because this is only week 3 of 7. In weeks 4, 5, 6, and 7, we'll find out loads more about Jesus, and we'll find out how it is that we can be forever in God's place, under his good rule. Let me pray for us. Our Father, we praise you for Jesus. Thank you that he's a perfect king. And please would ye help us not to think that we can please you by just being good, but please would you convince us that it's Jesus who's perfect, who makes us acceptable to you. In his name we pray. Amen.